bless him each and every day.
I also wanted to thank everybody for the prayers. It was been quite a week. Kathy's aunt died, and that was last Saturday when she died. I got a phone call on Sunday or Monday from my sister and found out that a friend of mine that I graduated from high school with had died on Friday. Kathy's aunt died on Saturday, and then my closest uncle died on Sunday. So three days in a row, three deaths in a row. It was quite the shock. But you know, death has a way of making you think about life, so. Even in those kinds of circumstances, there's always something that you gain, you know? Godly people gain.
Yes.
No matter what's going on. God takes things and he turns things that the enemy wants to make for bad for us. He'll turn and make that something that we can grow in, that we can gain from. That's something. It's something to me. I want to talk about a couple of things I said about Kathy's aunt because it's going to apply to the message today. But I really felt that there, right from the very beginning of the service, that the power of the Lord. I don't know. I think sometimes people that are Christians, when they think of the power of God, think of some grand display. You know, you're looking for that grand thing to happen, that gigantic miraculous thing that is right out there, and you see it. You know, some healing that happens right in front of your eyes or whatever. You know, you look for that. But the Lord spoke really clearly to me during the time, right from the very beginning, like I said, and through the worship time, that the power of the Holy Spirit is really ministering here, probably in ways that we don't even realize. And that's kind of sad sometimes, that we don't realize the way that he's actually working something very powerful on the inside of you and me. Because on the inside, it's not as much seen, is it? Attitudes, you know, the thought patterns, conviction of sin, whatever it might be. You know, there's some powerful, powerful things that happen by the Spirit of God that the rest of us wouldn't see what was going on inside of the other people in the church. Right? It's a fantastic thing to me. I wanted to read here something. There was a few things that I said about Aunt Ellie at the funeral. I officiated the service, and the eulogies and all the other things that other people did were just so fantastic. You talk about feeling the presence of God. Kathy and I really felt the presence of God just right there. I mean, tangible. It was a tangible sensing of the Lord being there in the midst of all of us. I don't know about other people, but I felt it in a very, very almost tangible kind of way. And I mentioned this, and I hope that I can come up to where she was in certain ways. And one of the things that I said was, I know that when she came and stood before the Lord when her spirit and soul left her body and she went with the Lord. I know that Jesus greeted her and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now think about that. Don't you want that to happen to you?
Yes.
Not, well, kinda, well done. No, well done. It makes you think about, you know, death makes you think about this life.
Yes.
And it should stir something up inside of us that we're not blasé about everything about life. Life has meaning, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it really should have meaning for us as Christian men and women. Now, I also said that she had a life that was well lived. She had a life of giving and a life of conviction. And I really hope that we all of us, really, that could be said of us when, if it comes to the point where that happens with us, you know. Would you want those things said about you?
Yes.
There was one song that we sang. There was a few songs that we sang that hit on the message today. But the one that "More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life." Well, this is what I'm going to be talking about, and really, Reggie touched on it, and so did Whitney. I want more of Jesus in my life. And you kind of think, well, how can you have, you know, we're all busy, we all have things that we're doing, how can we do it? But what Whitney read there about, you know, we actually can. Let me see if I wrote it down. What?
Do you want
more? I thought I wrote it down. I didn't. What was the thing that you said? Write it down. I wrote it on the back. Yeah, the time of business. I paraphrase. The time of business is not any different than the time of prayer.
Right.
What would your life, the life of this world, be like if that was the way we lived? Instead of one person or just a couple, but what if every single person in this room made that kind of commitment to God, that wanted more of God in their life to the point where it didn't matter what they were doing, they were at rest in God, they were listening to God, they were hearing Him, they were obeying Him, moment by moment. Isn't that part of what you read to Whitney? This moment by moment thing. And I think that all of us, me included, think, oh, that's impossible. And yet Paul says, pray without ceasing. How do I pray without ceasing when I have teaching to do, or bringing the wood in out of my wonderfully stacked wood piles, right, Jeff? So, you know, we can do that. There is the ability, if you and I want it, to be able to be in contact with the Spirit of God at all times, from moment to moment. You and I can do it. I don't know how it's done, because I haven't done it yet. Little snatches, right? All of us have done that in these little snatches. But to be able to do that moment by moment, do you think that that's something that we should strive to do?
Absolutely.
What would happen if you and I really got our heads into the place where we could... We were hearing from God all the time. Think? Are you thinking about that?
Yeah.
What would that be like?
Life would be so good.
Huh? What's that?
Life would be so good.
Life would be so good. It would be. It was just what you read when he was just so right on the money with this, and then the song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. I think that what we strive to do is to have more of Jesus in our life. More love and more power will follow. You know, we don't have to be trying to do all these different things. Then we get more into a works kind of thing. But if we're just pursuing God, is that cuckoo? Is that cuckoo to do?
No.
Isn't that what we should be doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Reggie had a preview
of
that. It was 3 days.
Yeah, right. He had those three. That was the thing. Thank you. That was the thing I was thinking about with Reggie, was that place. And then, you know, you wake up. I think we've all had those times where, oh man, we're just basking in the beauty of his presence, right? And then you wake up one day and, what happened?
Right.
You know, and I think too that the Lord doesn't want us to rely on the feelings.
Right.
Feelings do happen to us. We can sense at times his presence, right? But, you know, there's times we gather together that maybe there's not a sense of feeling his presence, but the scripture tells us, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. So we don't have to feel. It's nice when we do. But we don't have to because we know what the scripture says about that, right? He's here. That's something to contemplate. Jesus is here in our midst. What's that? The Holy Spirit is in us. Yes. Well, what I'm going to talk about, you know, is living according to his word. You know, the word is supposed to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And, you know, it's one thing to come to the place where you understand that mankind, and you in particular, we're sinners. We miss the mark. That's what that means. We miss the mark. We don't live the way God has intended us to live. We don't think the way that we need to at all times, do we? We're sinners. And Jesus died on the cross for that. Right? And when we listen to what he has to say, then we can then do what he tells us to do. What if we're not listening? What if we're too busy? What if we, in believing that Jesus died on the cross for us, that gets us to be believers. But, you know, there's more to Christianity than being a believer. You know that?
Yes.
Yeah, you're too quiet here, right? You do know that?
Yes.
Because not every believer is a disciple. Not every believer is. And we all fall in some range in there. And sometimes, at some moments, we're hot on fire, passionate disciples. And then there's other times where maybe we're not. Right? But this is where we want to be focusing. And sometimes we need that provoking, getting thrown into the fire, coming in to be with the body of believers. And I think this is why what's so important about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We have the Spirit of God within us. We can be here and there and all of that. But you know, there's something about the body of Christ coming together that can fire you up more than just you and Jesus. there's lots of people just, well, I just, it's just me and Jesus. Well, that's one aspect. That's one step. But you and I are not going to come to the place that we need if we're not assembling ourselves together. You realize that? That's what I'm saying. Just like what Kelly said. This is so important, and the enemy is going to try to keep us from assembling ourselves together on a fairly consistent basis. This isn't even the message, but I guess it is the message. Now, I wanted to look at the word, the Greek word for word, and there's two Greek words. One is logos, and the other is rhema. Now, I want to tell you the difference here. So, logos means the divine words, thoughts, principles. And this, the implication behind all of this is that this is the written word. The written word, God's words spoken to people who wrote them down. And so though different people have written different parts of the Word of God, this logos, it was God's words, right?
Yes.
Spoken and written. Alright? That's the logos. We read the logos and that becomes the guiding principles for our life. It's the lamp under our feet, it's the light under our path, right? That's an important thing. I want to talk about rhema here. Rhema is a different word that's used for the word word. And this means command. Not just a word, but it's a command. And it's said in such a way that it means what is happening right now. What God is speaking right now. Yeah. Now, we all have the word. We have that logos that we go to and refer to. You know, there's a lot of words there. Isn't there? And God doesn't expect you or I to have all of that in our brains and meeting every single thing that's in that Word of God all at the same second. Do you know that? No. He, through many different circumstances, through the things that we read in the Logos, things kind of pop out at us. Something ministers and witnesses to our heart. Oh, this is what God is saying to me right now. That is a rhema. That's a rhema word. That's a word that is being spoken by God. It's meant for this moment, for you and I to grab a hold of, and then to do something with. That's a rhema word from God. When we get together, if there's prophecy, if there's prophets in the midst, it's not always about future things. To prophesy means to speak the word of the Lord. That's what it means. And so, words that are in here, when a preacher is preaching, there's an element of prophecy involved. When somebody's reading something that deals with the particular topic that, like maybe that book, the words that you were reading there, there's an element of prophecy that's involved with that, and that is rhema. You get it? God is speaking something for this moment. Do you and I believe that God is speaking moment by moment to you and I? Yeah, we don't always hear that, though, do we? We don't recognize it sometimes when it comes. There's a rhema word A rhema command, a command. A something that God is saying to us every day. Every day. And if we're going to sing the words to that song, more love, more power, more of you in my life, then I hope we really mean that. We need to have ears that hear what the Lord is saying every day. And really, moment by moment, that's where we want to get to. Isn't that right? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, which I thought was just really fantastic. Because of the song that Noah had chosen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. So, do you understand the difference between logos and rhema? Right? Rhema is a right now word. It's out of all the things that God has said and has been recorded, and that is the light, the lamp under our feet, the light under our path. There are certain things that He's saying for you and I right now. For some of us, there might be one thing, but not the same to somebody else. When we get together, I've always seen where the word that's coming forth by the preacher to the congregation, that it's meant for everybody. God has so arranged it that that's how it happens. You know that? So, you on Ephesians 5? In Ephesians 5? The rhema I wrote down here, it gives direction and focus for what God is presently speaking. Okay? That's a rhema word. You can read any word in here. It's the logos. It's God's words. Every word of God is true. Right? But God speaks something very clear, very present to you and I every single day. And that's what the rhema is. All right?
The thing that shows up, Malcolm, when you've read a passage over and over again, and you didn't really ponder it too much, and then all of a sudden one day you read it, and it means something.
Yeah, it comes out, it jumps out at you. But now, all of a sudden, when that happens, you know that, hey, this is a rhema word from God. This is something that God wants me to get my head around, wants me to grab a hold of. Because this has happened to you guys, right?
Right.
Sometimes something just jumps out at you. A word, a phrase that's in the Bible. Now, it says here... Well, before I tell you what verse it's in, did you notice that in the video of the song that Noah had chosen, that there was all those words on the chalkboard, and then by the end of that video, all that the water had been put onto the chalkboard, and all of that stuff, that junk, all that stuff was washed away, right? Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. It's talking about the church here. Verse 26. And that He, God, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of the water by the rhema. That's the word that's used there. It's not the logos, it's the rhema. We get washed by what God is saying specifically to you in this moment. That's when you get washed. Do you understand? I think that's pretty good. And I think that God wanted to... Isn't this a fantastic group of people You know, that hear God, they're listening to God. Do you think that Noah just kind of on his own just decided, hey, that sounds like a good song to play?
Let me tell you the process Noah went through.
Do you know what happened with that? Go ahead.
I'll tell you a little bit about it. Noah gave me two songs last week on a piece of paper that he was thinking about playing. And last night he calls me and he says, he forgot that it was his turn. He forgot he even gave me the note saying what the songs were. So he's like, he says, I need to come up with another song. So he gives me two more songs. And so anyways, then this morning he calls and he says, listen, there's this song. The song I want to choose is this one. And it has somebody with a chalkboard on it. When you look it up, he says, I'd like that one played. Now, I had Haley look it up for me because I was busy getting ready and stuff, and she chose a different one with a chalkboard. It was a girl in front of a chalkboard, and so I listened to it, and then I called them back and I said, yeah, that's great. I think it'll work out good and stuff. And he said, was it? I said it had lyrics on it, right? And he said, no, it doesn't have lyrics on it. He said it has the band in front of the chalkboard. So there was actually two. That had the chalkboard. Now the other one was a lot more plain. It was just black, and it just had words, and it didn't have anybody writing anything down, and then it transforms into pictures. So this particular one is the one that he had wanted to play, and I looked at it and I said, you know what? There's a reason you want this one played. So therefore, that's the one we're going to play. And that's what you ended up with. So you can see the process. I mean, God's working all the time. He's going through, you know, trying to choose this stuff. And isn't it funny that it just works out to fall into this pattern?
Yeah. Exactly right. We don't know. I mean, unless we would have heard this description, we don't know all that was involved. Noah coming up with choosing that song.
What was the name of the song?
You Are More.
You Are More. And it's by Tim Moore. I think I hadn't played a year or so ago.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
It wasn't a video. We had just played
right,
it on
just
on
played
the song.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, so here that's played, and it has the water taking all the sins and all the bad things with the words of that song. You're more than the problems that you've made. More than the decisions you know that you've
made. The problems you've
created, all that stuff. You're more than that. See, we're more than that. That's one thing that God is saying to us today. For you and I to grab a hold of this. This is a rhema. We're more than all of these big things that happen in our life, the stupid, wrong decisions that we make. You know, we're more than that. Now, to some people, that might be an excuse to keep on living that way.
Oh, God forgives me.
But it could be something where you go, oh, wow. God is so fantastic. I want it. You know, the goodness of God leads you and I to repentance too. We can be afraid of consequences, but you know, the goodness of God can lead you and I to say, you know, I don't want to live my life like that. I'm turning from that because you deserve it. I want to honor you in my life, Lord. Yeah, we can have some of those moments too, right? It doesn't always have to be because we're afraid of some kind of punishment.
I think another thing that it means to me is it doesn't just wash away the sin, but it also washes away the urge and the pain that goes along with it.
That goes along with it.
And all those bad feelings.
Yeah. This takes away the guilt, takes away all that stuff that is associated with those wrong decisions. I just thought that was just really a fantastic thing. You know, some people really have said things to me about moving more in the gifts of the Spirit, and you know, that would be nice. It would be good for us to just hear the voice of God more and be listening and move out as God moves us. But I'll tell you, the thing that's more impressive to me than any of the gifts is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that doesn't mean we throw one out and keep the other. We want to have both. But it's really important for us to really, if we're going to move in the gifts, if we're going to have a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit, it's only going to come as we are getting rhema words. Isn't it? It's only going to become as you hear. How good is our hearing? You know? For us to move out in a gift, we don't just do it in a mechanical way. God sits there and urges your heart, and then you step out. Right? Isn't that right? Yeah. Wrong.
I think we need a balance.
Yeah, and it isn't. And what the balance is not the same amount of each. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The balance comes when we hear and then we obey. We don't just do it. Right? We're not just doing things for the sake of doing it because it's the Christian thing to do, but because we hear God.
Right.
I'm going to show you this here, too. Yeah.
The gifts, it says the gifts they're given to you, but if you don't walk in the Spirit, it says without love, you are nothing but a cunning of God.
And yeah.
The gifts aren't necessarily always you walking in the Spirit, kind of. The gifts come and you can discharge them anyway, not all the time, but...
Yeah.
And so unless you're walking with the Word or walking with Christ, sometimes I think you're out of the Spirit when you're in the Spirit. Does that make sense?
The thing here is that I don't want any of us ever to think that to be spiritual, you have to move in a gift. That's going to become an automatic thing.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
To be spiritual means you're moving in the Spirit. That doesn't necessarily mean you're performing a gift at the time. Love, like what you're saying, right? Just moving in love, compassion for somebody. You're being spiritual at that point. Right? All right. Let me get to some of these things here. So, we have washing of the water of the rhema, all right? If you just look, since we're in Ephesians 6, 17, says, talking about the different armor of God, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the Word of God, right? But it's the rhema. It's what he is speaking right now. It isn't something that you grab out of the Bible and use. Do you understand that? There's a big difference here. People take things out of the Bible, and because it's in the Bible, they think that they can use it anywhere at any time. Oh, no, no, no. No, the sword, the thing that cuts through and stops the enemy, is a rhema word. Do you get this?
Yes.
That means you and I have to have a continual hearing ear so that you know what he's saying right then. Is that going to be hard to do?
Sometimes.
It can be, because sometimes he's telling you to do something you don't want to do.
That you don't want to do?
You make a decision that you don't want to make.
And we're so distracted in our life that we don't even think to be listening to what God's saying. Because there's lots of times, as Christians, we still react in our flesh to things.
Yes.
Don't we? And we want to become people that are really hearing the voice of God speaking to us. We want to be people that not only sing that song, more love, more power, more of you in my life, but we really need that. I don't know how many times I've said this. We're coming down to the end of the age, and I don't think we're even awake to that. We kind of have an intellectual knowledge that, yeah, we're coming into the end times. Well, we'll be doing, you know, we're going to be taken out, and we don't have to worry about anything. And yet, that isn't the way it really is if you look at the scriptures. And we need to be people that are listening, especially now as we see the day drawing near. Especially now. Okay. So, I'm not going to go into that. Go to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. I want to talk about some other aspect here, about what rhema does. The rhema word is what we need to be listening to. And rhema word means that you're listening. It means that you have a hearing ear. That you're trying, moment by moment, to hear the voice of God. And it says here, in verse 17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. By what he's saying to you at that moment. You know, people say, well, just take faith for something that you want. Well, what if God's not speaking that?
Right.
Or what if there's something, let's take healing for an example. Okay? Some people say, well, God wants everybody to be healed. So you can ask for healing anytime and God will do it for you. Oh, you don't need a rhema for that? See, you need rhema. You need rhema for working in power. You need to have God tell you to say those words. You understand this? Because some person could be, well, I don't know. Let's say the person's drinking a lot, and they start getting liver problems. And so the church finds out that so-and-so is having liver problems, and so they pray for a healing.
Right.
And maybe God will do something. And maybe that happens a few times. But there's going to come a time where God might need to really get that person's attention. And we can pray as much as we want to for healing in a certain area. It's not going to happen, because God needs to take them through something. So unless you're hearing, see, faith, you don't just take faith. Faith comes by hearing. You can't just say, well, I'm going to take faith that I'm going to get that Lamborghini over there. Well, you can take as much faith as you want to. If it's God's will, it'll happen. But things don't happen in this life. Because we by our strength and Christian character decide that we want something, and therefore if we just drum up enough faith, it'll happen to us. No, faith comes by hearing. You have to have a rhema, and it uses that very word. It doesn't say logos. It says rhema. It says rhema there. And hearing comes by the word of God. You have to hear it. It's a rhema word. It's something that's spoken to your heart and it witnesses to your heart. Do you know what, you know, when people get sick, lots of times, they'll sense that God's going to heal them. And there's an inner witness and there's no question in their mind they're going to be healed. Is that right, Rachel?
Yeah, except it was going to be the hard way.
Sometimes it's the hard way, yeah. Right. Yeah. But you know, there's something deep inside, you know?
I did.
You know? Because you hear it. You heard it.
No, I felt it.
You could feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. Those kinds of things happen. And and it works because you heard it. And so then you can believe. God can still do sovereign things without you hearing, without you understanding, without taking faith for something. It's in God's will, and God's going to do it. No matter where you're at in the midst of all of that. But it is a better thing when you're able to hear Him say, "Hey, I'm going to heal you. Just rest in me. I'm healing you." Wouldn't that be nicer than struggling and worrying week after week, month after month, not knowing what's going on, and then God heals you? I'd much rather hear it from God. Well, that takes developing a hearing ear, doesn't it? God does not just make you and I hear because He wants us to. We have to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. It's not that complicated, is it? Hard to do sometimes because of our flesh nature. But we're at the place that we're at in this life, in this world. You know, God is looking for people to get excited about this. To, as it says in Psalm 110, thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. That's what it says. Yeah, I want to be one of those people. There's not going to be a lot of people that want to do that. There's not a lot of Christians that want to do that. They're glad they're saved. Now leave me alone, God. I got things to do. That's true. We can laugh at that. We can see fingers pointing right at ourselves about that at times. And that's why it takes us wanting more of Him. We have to want it. We have to desire that. And it's really getting down to, how's that go? Fish or cut bait. We can talk a good game. We can come here every Sunday and say the right words even. But if we're not really, digging into God more ourselves in a real true sense, then you and I are kidding ourselves. We're not kidding God. So I wonder how we're doing today. Is that something that you want? I hope so. Because it's going to be miserable here if you... Because this isn't something that we're ever going to get away from. Because this is a message. This is the gospel of the kingdom. I'm going to explain that, and then I'm going to stop. Yeah.
Richard, I was just saying that another aspect of that too is when you're in that rhema moment is a lot of people say, "Well, I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of this or the gift of that." And God can take you at any specific moment, and if you're listening to God and God speaks to you and says you're going to heal this person, that's what's going to happen. If you're paying attention, and you don't have to have that particular gift all the time.
Right.
He gives it to you when it's needed.
Yes.
And I remember a book by Don Piper titled "Items in Heaven," where that's somebody prayed over him who doesn't typically pray, and that's what happened. This healing happens, and it just has to, but you got to be listening all the time. So you may not think you have a certain gift that God gives to you, but you do. You just need to be listening, and He'll utilize it when it's time.
That's right. And if you're listening, if you're developing that hearing ear to hear as a disciple, that's out of Isaiah 50, verse 4. If you're writing things down to look back at, Isaiah 50, verse 4 says he asks to have an ear that listens like a disciple. See, disciples listen. And I want to be more of a disciple. You want to be more of a disciple of Christ. Not just a believer, but a disciple of Christ. Now, what's being said here? What we're talking about, what we've said for weeks and weeks and the whole year and years maybe, is really the gospel of the kingdom of God. There is the gospel. And the gospel is made up of different points, different topics. You have the gospel of salvation. You got the gospel of the kingdom. You have the gospel of peace. Those have come off the top of my head. Well, I know those three anyway. There's a whole bunch more that emphasizes a particular slice of what the good news is all about. All right? Jesus says that at the end of the age, before he comes back, that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world, and then the end's going to happen. Well, there's this particular slice of the whole gospel, the whole good news of Christ, that Jesus sits there and pinpoints as something that must be preached. Is it the gospel of salvation? No. Do you throw gospel of salvation out? No, you need the gospel of salvation. Somebody, you have to come to Christ. You have to see that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved by the atoning work of Jesus. But then there's something more. And it's this gospel of the kingdom that I think that lots of the church only talks about salvation and never talks about discipleship, never talks about the king being the king of their life in a very strong way. You know? This is what this is about. That he really be the king. Not that we just talk about him being king of our life and singing about it, but that it really means something to us. And that we're willing to surrender our life, to listen to him, retrain the way our brains work so that we can do what we have to do in this life, but that moment by moment, we're listening. We're listening like a disciple. He wants us to be this way. He then will empower us to be able to do it. It is not impossible. Isn't that a great thing?
Yes.
Unless you don't want it. You see. And you gotta look at yourself and say, I look at myself. Do I really want this? I don't want to get too carried away with Jesus, do I? But he's looking for people. He's looking for people that are going to be that. So that when the darkness of the end of this age comes, there are people that are really light. They're not just singing about light. They're not just reading about it or ascending to it, but they are the light because they're living it. They're actually living it that way. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody had a hand up.
What? I think you talked about rhema word before, and there was a power associated with it. That's the word that popped in my head when you said that word. So I think not only is it a word from God, but it's also the power to accomplish the command.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because it's a command, because he's telling us to do a particular thing, he's going to give us the grace, he's going to give us the ability to be able to perform it.
Bob just did that.
Yeah.
Bob said, I have to come up here and pray.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
There's a rhema moment there.
Yeah.
Bob heard from God that he has to come up and pray for the kids. He went up and did it.
Yeah.
Was he comfortable when he decided that? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But he did it because God said to do it. And
right.
That was great. And the same thing happened when they prayed over you. Nobody was going up. I didn't mention a word.
Right.
They felt like God was saying, somebody has to pray for Malcolm. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Those are rhema moments. And like you said, it doesn't have to be grand.
No, it doesn't.
You know, those are important.
Just listen.
Yeah.
We just got to listen.
And it's very interesting, too, because I actually felt like I needed to go up, and I hesitated. And then
and that's the power of God. And when you hear it and you feel that nudge, do it. Right? Dan.
Speaking of a rhema word, now I understand why I read this morning. This isn't Job. It's when Satan and God is talking, and God says about Job, there is no one on earth like him.
Yeah.
He is blessed, upright, a man fears God and shuns evil. Okay? When we act out on our rhema words, I think that's probably how God looks at us. I mean, when I read that this morning, I was thinking, God, why am I like that? And where are these people?
Where are these people, man?
Where are these people? Because I know I'm not like this all the time. And I know we can be. If Job was that way, why can't I be that way?
Yeah.
He didn't have Christ.
Right.
He was before Christ.
Right.
Now we have Christ. But on the way to church, this is running through my head. And just as I'm sitting here, God spoke to me. And he said that there are people in this body right here with that heart.
Yes. I know it.
There is.
Absolutely.
I think God sees all of us that way.
Yeah. This is what he wants us there. Yeah.
He does.
We may not see ourselves that way. God sees us with his eyes. Because in Job's case, he knew that Job would be to himself that way. And maybe Job didn't recognize that. So when Satan sifted Job and put him through that, God knew the end result of Job would be exactly how he saw him initially in the first place.
God sees all of us as a completed work. And saying what we've said here, I hope that nobody kind of goes, geez, I'm not doing too hot.
Yeah.
You know, because that isn't how God sees you. This is here for us to be encouraged to step up. God loves us. We're more than all these mistakes that we've made, because that's how God sees us. God sees us in that completed way. Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Go ahead.
We need to not just listen, but we need to step out in faith. A lot of times, God will tell us to do something, and we just sit there and ignore it. And it's really not the right thing to do. I've said before, we need to be quiet, listen to what God has to say, and then act on it. Too many people want to hold it in because they're either embarrassed to go to somebody or something or whatever. And because I've been there, I know exactly what that's like. But we need to. If you don't, you clam up and you're useless. Yeah. Not that anybody here is useless.
We read you say, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It made me think, I was getting ready for Thanksgiving, and because I want everything to be perfect, and I get myself all stressed out. Foolishly, it's just my family. And then I said, oh, I got to send out these cards, I want to do that. And to make myself sit down and do it, and I said, these are the important things, right, God? And I do, I talk out loud to him, because I'm wanting to answer himself. I said, these are the important things, right, Lord? So I sat down, and I did it, and it made me feel so much better. And then somebody called, Wednesday or Tuesday, and said, Joe's getting a haircut. Can I stop in? And I said, oh, yeah, stop and visit. And now they say, oh, my God, what are we doing? And it was awesome. And we had a wonderful visit. And she can help me. She washed some things that I had bought. And it's because you just listen.
Yeah, just listening.
And I'm learning more about the important things.
Hearing. It's just
what are the important things? People are the important
things. Yeah, those are the important things. One last thought, and then I'm going to close. And that is in Romans chapter 10. In verse 8, it says that the word is nigh you, close to you, even in your heart and on your tongue. So, and that is the word rhema. There is a rhema word because you have Christ. That though you don't feel like you have one, though you're maybe feeling like you're scrambling to hear, if you just settle yourself and believe. And listen to God. The scripture says that you have that rhema inside you. Isn't that great?
Yes.
You have the thing that God wants to speak to you. And if Just listen. Lord, we thank you for your word, your rhema, for the logos, but Lord, especially that we would be people that would learn how to listen as we work. Listen to you as we do everything, whether it's business or prayer, Lord, that in all things in this life, Lord, that we would train our minds to be listening for what, when, and where, and what you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.